I don't know about you guys, but it has been one emotional week that we've been going through. I don't know what you guys have been going through. It's been, like I said, pretty emotional. And I'm sure that you guys probably have gone through some things this week also. Because I could, for some reason, I just feel a sense of heaviness here. I don't know what it is, but it deals with your feelings, with your knowledge, everything. So I think that's one of the reasons why the Lord has brought this message to us. Now, we're going to be in 1 Peter. And the opening is very encouraging. As Peter writes to the believers, the Gentile Greek believers, mainly. So if you will, go ahead and turn to 1 Peter. And before we start, I'll go ahead and pray. And Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Father, for the things that we are going through, Father. For we know that the outcome will be our true salvation as we go through these things, Father. For you did not raise us to be bombarded by the enemy, but for us to have a complete victory over him, always, Lord. You have never turned your back on us. You have never caused anything in our life to be devastating. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the things that we go through, Father. We rejoice and give you the praise and glory for them, Father, because we come out the other side better. And we just love you, Lord. And we give the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, this in 1 Peter is quite an encouragement. Hope brings hope and encouragement to the believers. And it is for us now, today. It is present now, the same thing. So as we go through this, I want you to listen to the encouragement that the Lord gives us. So the purpose for this letter is written to Gentile Christians who have been scattered throughout the world, just as the Jews were scattered. It was not because of the Roman ban on Jews and Christians in Rome. If you want to look that up, you can go to Matthew 18 and read about that. So it wasn't because of that. The letter refers to those who came to Christ and lived as Christians faithfully in a pagan, perverse, and hostile society. Their persecution came in the form of slander, riots, local police actions, and social rejection. This was actually sanctioned by Rome for this to happen. I'm going to read from the chronological Bible. It gives an idea of what was taking place. So bear with me as I read this, because I still have this ear that's plugged up and it's driving me nuts. But anyway, in the chronological Bible, we read this. It says Bithynia, combined with the nearby territory of Pontus, formed a Roman province in the northwest Anatolia. It had been an important kingdom during the Hellenistic period and the center of Greek language and culture. Although Paul did not evangelize in the region, the salutation in 1 Peter 1:1 addresses the Christians in Pontus and Bithynia, shows that Christianity had reached there by other means. One of the earliest evidence of the Roman awareness of Christianity comes from Bithynia, the letters to the emperor, and his name is Trajan. Tarhan, is that how you pronounce that? Tarhan, from Pliny, the younger, describes various reasons for the persecution of Christians. Pliny was the provincial governor of Bithynia and Pontus, and it shows a date. In his official correspondence, he expresses to Tarhan his alarm regarding the spread of Christianity. The correspondence between the governor and his emperor offers one look at how the Romans dealt with the Christian religion in Bithynia and Pontus. According to Pliny, it appears that persecution had trimmed the ranks of Christians in the area. Tehran responds to plenty that Christians should not actively be sought out. However, he allows that those who refused to perform certain Roman orders were to be punished. The letter of 1 Peter to Christians in these areas and other regions offers encouragement during the similar persecutions. And we'll see that as we get into this. So it was sanctioned. The persecution of the Christians was sanctioned by Rome through these actions, through police actions, through slander, for social rejection, all that. Now, we may not this day in our country be going through those type of things, but our enemy that we all know very well is bringing us down, is causing this unrest within our bodies, and it causes us to look elsewhere, to go to things like self-help books, things like that. And we shouldn't. Our answer always lies within these pages.
Amen.
Always. So this is where we should be going all the time when we go through different trials and tribulations in our life. And it makes no difference what it is. It could be sickness. It could be, you know, anything that we go through. God has the answers for us. So as we go through this, please listen to what Peter's, his encouragement and the hope that it brings to his, to the readers, to the listeners, of this letter. In verses 1 and 2, Peter writes, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknown knowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure." So you hear those words of encouragement? They still apply today to us. Okay? So let's just look at some of this. Who are these that are chosen? Who's he talking about in verse 1? Who are chosen? Well, it's God's elect, and that's us. We can go to Luke 18:7, and we read, "Now will not God bring about justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them?" The answer is no. He will always bring justice to the elect. Always. He never turns his back on us. He never forgets us. He always provides for everything that we need. So according to whose foreknowledge, it was according to God's foreknowledge, not anyone else's, not by means of other teachers, not by, like I said, in these self-help books and stuff like that. It's here. It's here by the Word of God. We have the perfect self-help book. It's written for us. So it was according to God's foreknowledge. And it goes on, by whose sanctifying work? By whose sanctifying work? The Spirit. Yeah. Okay. So what was the purpose of the work by the Spirit? What does it say here? What was the purpose of it? It was to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. Now that brought a truth when we first became born again. It brought a truth into our life. The sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross was worth something. And that worth is us sitting here right now. That has never changed. He has never taken his focus off of us at any time. And it still goes on today, and it will go on in the future. Our future is sealed in him. We know who we're going to be with. We shouldn't be going through certain things, but we do. And like I said, it has been very emotional this week. As Jim said something to that last week, we do go through these things. So the purpose was to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. Now, this sprinkling allows us to enter the holy place. with confidence. We can find that in Hebrews. So this sprinkling of the blood grants us admission directly to God's throne, to Him. Okay? So that's what's taking place. So let's see what's meant by God's foreknowledge. It's God's knowledge of all things, like His wisdom to choose us to salvation and placing His Holy Spirit in us. This is God's knowledge. This is what God did for us. It's much more than that. It's His relationship to all things. And by that relationship, what I'm talking about is that it's not a passive foresight. It's a foreknowledge. It's His active role in each and every one of our lives. He doesn't pick and choose. It's all of us together. Okay? So this knowledge, this God's knowledge, it's His active presence in all that was and is to come. He will always be active in our lives, and we can't deny that. So when we go through these times of allowing the enemy to beat us up, remember that God is definitely active. He's never left. He's definitely active in our lives, and it makes no difference in what condition we're in or what physical condition or what emotional condition. God is still active within us. So this activity, it's what's going on now and is what is to come in the future. He doesn't abandon us. Look at verses in 1 Peter 1:20-21. And we see this activeness in these verses. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of who? Us. Are you? So we see the active involvement of God in the life of Christ, in the life of Jesus, and also that active involvement in us at the same time. Through Him are believers in God and raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So how can I explain that? I mean, it's so self-explainable. I mean, you can't explain that. It's God's foreknowledge. And this is what's taking place in our lives. So I'm praying tonight that this letter, this first part of this letter here, is very uplifting to us. And it shows us that we're never alone, never abandoned at all. So we can be secure. Well, first, let's look at this knowledge. Let's go to Romans 8:29. You guys know this by heart. Yeah. Romans 8:29-30. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. So you see this activeness, what God is taking, the position He's taken in our lives? Okay? And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. So there's the activity of God in our lives. So we shouldn't be questioning ourselves about our future. Our future is set, and it's set in God. It's set in Jesus. So it's not going to change, in spite of everything that we might do, even in our foolish teaching. God gets a chuckle out of it, but he's able to take that and to cause others to believe in Him and to bring so they can bring glory and honor to Him also. So go back to 1 Peter 1 and let me read verses 3-5. And let's take a real close look at this, because it's so beautiful, so wonderfully encouraging. Peter writes, "Blessed be the Lord, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, and will not fade away. Reserved in heaven for who? For us. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So we see the end. We see the end of all things. This is how it spoke to me. We see the end of all things in our life today, and it's coming to an end. And we know that because Jesus is coming back to take us out of here, take us away. So let's go back and look at this. It's according to whose mercy? Who's it according to? Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again. It was His mercy. Okay? Nothing that we did. We were totally lost. Totally defiled. But yet, He chose. He caused it to happen. He caused us to be born again. To a living hope. In who? In Jesus. There is where all of our hope lies. Within Jesus. I taught our new believers class about the kingdom. I taught them. Now, you guys can jump all over me for this, but you who got this got the education and everything, but I taught them that Jesus, He is the kingdom. In Him lies the fullness of the Godhead. So He's the kingdom. It's Him. That's where our hope lies, within Him. So He's the kingdom. Okay. So He's the one that has caused us to be born again, and He's the one that caused Jesus to be resurrected from the dead. And He's the one that has given us a living hope. It's not anything that we do. Even though, like I said, we strive and we kick and we go away crying and saying, Lord, I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that. But let's not forget. Let's not forget what the Lord has done in our lives. So what was the purpose of this being born again to a living hope? What was the purpose of it? Look at verse 4. It was to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. This was the purpose of it. God so loved us that He wants us to be with Him in the kingdom with all that we need. Everything will be provided for us. Everything. And this is what is telling me. It's His inheritance that He's going to give to us. His inheritance in Christ Jesus. Okay? Which is what? Imperishable and undefiled. So man has not laid his hands on it, has not touched it. Neither has the enemy that we know. He has not touched it, has not defiled it, even though he has tried. He goes before the Father as many times as He wants and accuses the elect. And Jesus, our advocate, is sitting right there at His right hand saying, no, Father, they belong to You. So there's our hope. He's there. He's not going to abandon us at all. So we have this imperishable inheritance. And it won't fade away. It'll always be forever. So we know that this inheritance is in heaven. And it's for us, His elect. Okay, this is where the inheritance is. But in verse 5, we see, let's read 4 and 5 together. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for us, or for you, my translation says, who are protected by the power of God. So God is protecting our inheritance and us. He's not allowing the enemy to cause us to fall away. He's not going to allow it, in spite of us, in spite of the enemy. So He's protecting it. And it's through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This is the end. This is the end of it. This is where we're going to be. That's what this salvation, no, it's all over with. We're going to be with Him for the rest of our lives. And that's, as far as I know, that's forever. that's forever. So this will be revealed to us at the last time. Okay. And we see Jesus coming back for us. All this revelation, all this knowledge, we'll know. Even though it sounds a little far off, it sounds really deep, and it sounds like things that we can't understand, but no. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, so He can explain these things to us. So remember, Jesus is the kingdom, and in Him is where our life is going to be. It's going to be the end of it. And I thank God for that. So we're protected by His power. So it makes no difference what we go through. And I thank You, Lord. Like I said in the prayer, I thank You for the trials. I really do. I thank You for them. Even though the trials sometimes get so emotionally involved, we think to ourselves that there's no way out. There's no solution to it. But yet, then God steps in and He says, "Here I am. Lean on Me." And once we do that, then everything else is at peace again, once again. And it doesn't change. So lean on Him. So tonight I want to close with an encouragement for practice. It's in 1 Peter 4, 7 through 9. So if you'll turn over there. 1 Peter 4. Seven through nine. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. That's where I want to leave this tonight. So I encourage you, be of sound judgment. Don't be sober in your thinking, in your spirit. Okay. Don't get caught up in the teachings of man, because they are misleading, very misleading, and sometimes they're so hidden that you can't see them. Amen. So I'll rely on the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. So that's what I have for you tonight.